was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 482, and you'd think I'd remember how to start the machine.
Take two.
Yeah, point two.
Like, why is that light blinking? Oh yeah. You have something to say? No? Okay. Sorry. Marley's joining us again. Instead of taking her home, she likes being part. She likes being one of the guys. So, but she looked like she was going to say something. You know, not say something, but bark. You know.
What were you going to say?
But I am Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Mike.
Marley. Pat.
Brandon.
I had to give her a proper
interview. I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah, Spencer said, screw you guys, I'm not coming out. So I'm sure he had something very important to do. So we're almost at Thanksgiving. Very exciting. Lots going on. I really have nothing planned. It's, I don't know.
No Black Friday?
Oh, I'll do Black Friday and stuff. But I remember last year or 2 years ago, I was thinking I'd gotten in a bunch of sale trades and stuff. But they didn't really do that this year because normally... Diamond handles that kind of thing. They were supposed to do a big sale, a big winter.
But they're not covering. They're not really doing it.
Well, they had to pause it when they got ransomware and their website was down and everything. So, you know, so we'll figure out stuff. I got lots of stuff to put on sale. We'll see. It was interesting having a conversation with some friends. They're going, do I want to have a big sale like on trades that I won't be able to get back in before Christmas because of the way everything's going?
Yeah, but why do you care when you sell it?
Right, but do you want to sell it at a discount or do you want to hang on to it and maybe sell it at full price during the holidays? You know, you don't want to blow out all your good stuff and then have nothing left in December.
Probably got a bunch of stuff down in the basement.
Right, but I might be a little more selective on what I put on sale. We'll see. But yeah, just trying to get stuff back in has been... interesting, especially Diamond. Reordering stuff, and it's like, is this coming? Like, I reordered the Free Comic Book Day bags because we ran out of them, and I ordered two more cases of those. Just that, like, those, you know, for big purchases, it's a sturdy bag. And it's been like two, three weeks, and it's like they're still not here. It's like, are these coming? Short boxes, too. I ordered three more cases, and they're
not. You said those weren't coming until like next year.
That's from BCW. Yeah, oh. the last date I saw was December 27th, and I'm like, there is no way a truck is driving out here on December 27th to drop off stuff. I mean, it's possible, but that was just their tentative expected date, and that was when I ordered them in September. So, I mean, talk about slow boat. But so those are coming.
Well, they're not off the boat. That's the problem.
Correct. So yeah, that's going on. We have local comic shop day is next Wednesday, which is fun because we do have some books coming for that. But
maybe.
Are you sure?
Some well, a lot of them are going to be coming.
Are they here now?
In December. So one guy was very clever and made it. It's free comic or it's local comic shop December because so.
You know, wow.
It's like yeah, okay.
So but, are all the publishers doing that or?
Every Marvel, they just had like X-Men was supposed to come out this week. And then it got kicked to next week, and looking at next week's shipping list, it's not there, so it's shipping another week. So I guess it is affecting everybody. I know DC has slid a bunch of stuff. So I guess, yeah, I guess it is. I don't pay a ton of attention to ship dates, but it's just funny when Spider-Man's going weekly, and then all of a sudden we have a week with no Spider-Man. It's like, okay, sure. Oh, you're in heaven, aren't you, girl?
Solid.
No, she's blinking like she's got something in her eye. Marley just lifted her paw. And Pat thought it was a dog power salute. No, she's trying to rub her eye.
It's
okay. So yeah, all that'll be going on, and I'll be, you know, public, and then Small Business Saturday and all that fun stuff. So it's going to be an interesting month. Yeah, because even because the first. Oh, no, next week's the 24th, so we'll see about the 1st, because it's December 1st is a Wednesday, but DC is treating it as a fifth week, because their books technically go on sale on the 30th, so they had a bunch of annuals coming out, so we'll see if they have annuals for that week. Then we have the skip week between Christmas and New Year's, I think. But this year probably won't, because so much stuff is going to slide to that week. So I have no idea what's going on anymore. I just work here. Like Mike is asking me, am I sure the books are going to be here tomorrow? I'm like,
you have no guarantee. Yeah.
I don't know. UPS is saying they'll be delivered tomorrow. I don't know. Djibouti. News-wise, there was one thing that I kind of laughed at was two Star Wars movies aren't happening now. The one with...
The Rogue Squadron,
right? That got canceled, and that's what made me laugh, because they had that trailer where she was talking and then walked out and all that. And when people ask me if I'm excited about movies because it got, you know, some property got optioned for a movie and stuff, I'm like, ask me when it's in the theater, and then I'll tell you, because so many movies don't happen.
That Cyborg movie, I mean,
yeah,
that was supposed to be out like.
Yeah. Is Flash still coming out? It's been what, 5 years?
They were actually filming. No, and we got a teaser.
There was a teaser trailer for that.
Okay. They actually filmed something there.
Just, you know, an option is such an easy thing, and you know, creative differences. Whatever happened with Patty Jenkins, and then another one, I forget, someone else. Theirs got canceled as well. So, for creative differences, so it's just, you know, kind of funny. Everybody's all giddy and excited, and then they just kind of all fall apart.
I think, you know, when you work for Disney, you have to do it the Disney way. And they want to tell the story they want to tell. Yeah. And it's like, well, then create your own property.
Yep. So.
Yeah. George Lucas didn't really create Star Wars so much as he stole a bunch of other stuff and slammed it together and made it work.
What do you mean? It worked. Marvel's teasing some stuff that they always do, because the previews comes out next week, so this week they have to start teasing what's going to be in the previews next week. But yeah, I saw some What If type stuff. It was like Miles Morales is Captain America and somebody else is Wolverine. Okay, more What Ifs. Whatever. I used to love them. Then they changed the formula. I loved them when they were... Here's what happened. I still remember one of my first ones was... I'd read the early... series, and then when I got back into comics, they had done a second series of What Ifs, and the first issue was What If the Avengers Lost the Evolutionary War, and I'm like, what's the Evolutionary War? So you read it, and the first 8 pages are recapping
what had happened,
and then puts the twist on it. I love that. I thought that was a fantastic format, a fantastic way to do it, to get, you know, you learn and like that. But now it's just
giving other people powers that someone else has.
A lot of it they do are tryout books. I remember one batch, and the art was just atrocious. And they literally, it was a way to do tryouts that they knew would sell because of the formula, you know, the book. But, oh, the one I remember reading just going, who's getting fired for putting this art out? It was very, very high schoolish. No offense to all the great high school artists, but.
But this wasn't one of them.
Mm-mm. Well, even, you know, like the professionals, when they show some of their early work, is always fun. And, you know, they're trying, you know, and then they get into it. I don't remember any other news.
Jim Lee's going to be on Sesame Street.
I saw that. I did see that. Okay. I'm just glad he's not doing a book right now that we'd be waiting for.
I don't understand that whole thing at all.
What, Jim Lee being
Who owns Sesame Street right now? Or who's putting out Sesame Street?
That part I understand. Yeah. What I don't understand is we're making the first Asian-American puppet. No, it's a puppet. Ernie is bright orange. So what's Ernie?
Yeah, but Ernie...
Bert is yellow with a weird cone head. What is Bert? He's a puppet.
I don't know which one's which, but they're supposed to be Dominican and Puerto Rican.
No,
if he was Puerto Rican, he'd be Ernesto.
I'm going with what Pat says. Yeah, they're
puppets, and that's the point.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Okay, what's Grover?
He's a monster.
He's a Grover.
But did anybody see Saturday Night Live last week? They did a cold open with Ted Cruz doing his own Sesame Street being Cruz Street, and it was very funny. The two guys came out dressed as Bert and Ernie, you know, and
it was really
hair straight head. No.
Oh, all they did was spray paint a cone head from the 70s.
No, well, they just, yeah, it was a bald wig with just hair going straight. It was very funny. But that was, I enjoyed that.
Because he was mad because Big Bird got vaccine.
Big Bird was telling kids advising it's okay to get the vaccine, that it didn't hurt that bad, and it's going to be okay. Yeah.
Gosh.
Any other news? Pat, what did you see?
Well, I saw a couple things. I saw Shang-Chi.
Ooh, how was that?
That was really good.
Actually, I put on the TV show, and it said, Dune, you only have 5 more days to watch Dune for free on HBO Max. So if you haven't watched it yet, get
I'm going to watch it.
So do I.
But we had a Spider-Man trailer, too.
Yeah, I saw the Spider-Man trailer. A little disjointed. Not quite sure what's going on.
I think that's the point. And it's clear that they're trying to do some deceptive things with visual effects.
Yeah.
Like they did with, Endgame. I keep saying it. But Infinity War, where it was Hulk running, but in the movie it wasn't Hulk.
Yeah. And I'm still not sure how Doctor Strange is expecting Spider-Man to Scooby-Doo something. I don't see how Spider-Man could fix anything.
But in no way is he behaving like the Doctor Strange in the Doctor Strange movie or the Avengers movies.
He's probably a variant or whatever.
No, it's got to be Mephisto.
It's Loki.
But that's the problem is...
It's Loki.
It's
Loki. Who knows? There's a million Lokis, right?
But how do you... You have to explain who Mephisto is in order for that to work. And you are already introducing, essentially the Sinister Six from other universes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a 9-hour movie.
But it almost seems like they're setting Doc Ock up to be a good guy.
Yeah, that was the other weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's... We clearly see Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin in it. But there's someone else on a Green Goblin glider. And I don't know who that is. Tim said it might be Dane DeHaan from The Amazing Spider-Man.
Electro looks different, too.
Yeah, Electro is more common.
They showed the mask thing. Yeah.
My wife said, well, maybe it's Hobgoblin. And I'm like, they don't have the balls to pull that off.
Right.
Because it would be Ned.
Well, but didn't Harry? He did something in Spider-Man 3.
Right, but they wouldn't bring James Franco.
That I saw once, so I don't really remember.
They would not bring James Franco back. He's toxic.
That's true.
Maybe they'll bring back Topher Grace's Venom.
Possibly.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. So... You got anything, Dave?
Not really.
Not
no.
really.
The best line I loved in that trailer was when Dr. Octopus says, "You're not Peter Parker."
Yeah.
That was great. That gets you really intrigued.
Which makes me believe 100% that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire will be in that movie at some point.
Yeah, people are upset because they weren't in the trailer.
I'm
like,
sure they're
chill.
Got to save something.
Well, there's,
I'm sure they're saving a lot.
I saw somebody like zoomed in on like a hand coming out of a portal. I think it's like a promotional image,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like
Dr. Manhattan.
It looks
like
the Tobey Maguire hand.
No, it's Andrew Garfield.
Is that what
it
is?
Andrew Garfield.
So. I don't know. It looked like a hand.
Well, no, it was, but it was the blue hand. Which was from Andrew Garfield's suit, not Tobey Maguire's suit. In any event.
Dr. Manhattan.
Yes.
Blue hand. Okay. So we have one question, and I am not qualified to answer it. So I'm
just
relying on you guys.
Make up some BS.
No, I can't. Since the original series did so well with Dark Phoenix, what story do you want to see adapted for X-Men 97?
Days of Future.
They did Days of Future Past.
They did.
But see, I never watched that cartoon, so I can't answer it for you.
Pretty much anything up until 92 that was important, they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Children of the Atom. The Trial of Jean Grey.
Battle of the Atom.
Or Battle of the Atom, yeah.
Yeah.
Just one episode?
No, it's going to be a new series.
Yeah,
oh, a new series.
Yeah, and that show was had arcs.
Yes.
So there were a lot of things that happened over multiple episodes. That's why it's so good. I honestly don't think I ever watched the whole thing.
Yeah, I never watched. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces, but and then my knowledge, I admit a failing. My knowledge of '90s X-Men events is not good.
Plus, it had one of the coolest intro musics.
Yeah, I'll give you that. And I've played it here. I've had it playing here many times.
But that's never... not the type of thing that you can just turn on and not watch. You have to pay attention, which is actually a good thing. Like, they made it... It wasn't just background noise for kids. It treated kids like intelligent people.
House of X, Powers of X. That'd be awesome to do in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm. Not
that.
That would be...
So, when they did everything in the show, things were, like, slightly different.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't have a problem with them doing that. I think it would be actually...
House of M.
Yeah.
Have Wanda show up. No more mutants. That would be off the wall.
Yeah. Age of Apocalypse. I didn't read
that
those.
Would be cool. So that, but that would be its own thing.
Yeah, watching the
wouldn't be part of it, Tim.
They do the Apocalypse stuff when he got Angel and gave him his armor and stuff.
They did that.
Okay. The Four Horsemen of Apocalypse.
See, that show pulled from all of like. The best X-Men arcs?
Yes.
So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll come up with something.
Because, that show was sort of the end of the high point of the X-Men. At least in my mind.
So you weren't a fan of Battle of the Atom then?
No.
Nobody was a fan of Battle of the Atom.
No, they haven't been able to recapture that, the energy of that era.
Well, I think it's because they have so many books come out and it's so confusing anymore. Yeah. Maybe they'll put Deadpool in it. That'd be perfect.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, with the Claremont stuff, it was one guy executing a vision that was like a big universe, and now they just don't write comic books in the main universes like that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still remember when Lemire took over X-Men, and they built like had a draft between all the creators as to what characters they could use because there were so many books, and he had a really weird team, and he kind of even admitted, "Yeah, these aren't the X-Men I want to use, but they're the ones I have." It's like that's not really a good way to go about doing it. Yeah. And then you had how long did we have the young X-Men from Bendis?
And that had some...
That would have been a great arc.
Yeah.
But it went on, maybe 12, 18 issues doing that. But it then went on for years. I don't even remember how it resolved.
Did it resolve? I guess because now they can bring anybody back. But that could have been a way to bring Jean Grey just back into the main universe and, moved on.
I thought it ended with them returning to...
I'm sure they did, but it was weird, because it was neat where, Cyclops got hurt and all of a sudden, he was near death and all of a sudden Cyclops started to fade because his younger version was in, and then, I don't know. But, Mike?
What?
You said you read 52 books.
Yeah.
Go.
It's the new 52.
Yes.
I'll start with the one I was about. It was number one. What's the furthest place from here?
Oh,
yeah, I was kind of on that one too.
Yeah,
it's by Matthew Rosenberg. It didn't give a clear story about what was going on.
It was triple sized, but I definitely don't think there was three issues worth of story in there.
No, yeah. It started off it was like a bunch of young people in a record store, and
it's like post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic,
and then there's other tribes
and there's
something.
No adults,
right?
But I didn't understand that part.
I think it's pretty clear that like there's some kind of disease that is either killing adults or making adults dangerous to be around.
Yeah.
To me, it was at some point when the kid becomes an adult, they're sent out of the community.
Okay. And then
I don't know
a
why.
Lost tribe person came back and was hurt.
But he was an adult, and that was the problem.
But he was an adult, and he said he found the city.
And then the one girl was pregnant. It's not really clear what's going on. And then the one girl had the pregnant girl's on the roof doing watch duty, and she disappeared, and it showed the post-apocalyptic world. It was like, it could have been a lot more clearer.
Yeah.
I like the artwork and everything, and like sort of like the premise, but it was not very clearly written out what's going on.
And that created its own problem for us. Not the art and stuff, but they had promoted this with a... You could get a version that included a 7-inch single. And they were hyping it up. They were going to promote it in all the record magazines and get all the record people in. And then they realized orders were more than they expected. And now we're getting one copy of the record for each issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, one of anything does me no good.
And if you read the backstory in the issue, they said that, you know, music and their influence and their musical influences.
I liked it more than you guys. I read it like 2 times, and it was clearer to me on the second.
Was it?
On the second reading. Okay. But I like this concept of the music and the kids. They're in the record store. That's their bunker. And they have to choose a record to, like, represent themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have to read a book twice to understand it, that's not great.
Yeah, I rarely admit
that. Yeah, I didn't read any of the tech stuff at the end either. No, I just... But yeah, so it's... For on our end, it's got a little sour taste. And then they're offering second prints of the record, but it's like, no. And they're going to show up 3 months after the first one. And it's just like, I ordered on the second print so that I could match my order that I had for the record on issue 2. And then after the orders went in for issue 2, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, you're only getting one of these. And I'm like, you know what? I'm out. And I'm just ordering one for the one customer that wants it. And
yeah.
None for the shelf. I'm not playing that game.
I read Alt number 2.
Read that?
I read that.
So, that guy's mean.
It's so cool.
That Nazi is mean.
Really?
Really?
You know?
The Nazis are mean? So the Nazis are basically trying to farm and raise this vampire.
He fed the priest to it.
That you gave away the good part. So basically they kept saying you need to feed it. And it's like, are they in the church?
Did you read that? Yeah, it's in the church. Yeah.
So he's in the church in this like giant hole and the priest is like, you know, doing what he's supposed to do and... The other guy gives him some information, so he turns on the priest and throws the priest in.
Well,
the bunker.
Didn't he? First he threw, like, an American guy who was, like, coming to negotiate.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to lose anyway.
Didn't he shoot him in the
pit? Yeah, he shot him and then threw him in the pit.
Yeah.
But they threw the priest after the code talker, the Navajo American, came
showed
in.
Showed his worth.
And said that he's speaking Czech.
A form of Czech.
Yeah.
So the vampire is speaking a form of Czech, and he sort of understood what he was saying.
Right, where the priest originally was the only one who could understand what he was saying, I think. So, yeah, so that was interesting. And then they're trying to tunnel out, and the tunnel collapsed on a guy. And I think the guy that got eaten in issue 1 was the guy in charge, and now nobody knows what to
do. Nobody knows how to do the tunnel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was awesome.
I thought it was good, yeah.
It was really good. May's book number 3.
Read that.
From Jeff Lemire. Last week for me was like Jeff Lemire
week. Yeah, but it was a good week.
It was a good week. So, Will continues to search for his long-lost daughter, who contacted him via a phone call.
Right.
And she liked to do puzzle mazes, and she's been gone for like 10 years, and he swears that there's some kind of clue out there, and that she's there. So he starts losing, you know... Everybody thinks he's losing his mind. I think he even thinks he's losing his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes and gets a tattoo.
He finishes the maze and then gets the tattoo so he can keep it. But he put the maze over a map.
And it matched.
And it showed he started, the beginning of the maze was his apartment. And where it ended was this like children's hospital.
Yeah, but where he went was like a back alley and it was a blocked wall.
Right.
So he was
perfect metaphor.
Yeah, and he was just so like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then he ended up talking to a neighbor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because he locked himself out of his apartment, talked to her, and she didn't seem to think he was crazy.
She didn't seem to think he was too crazy. Yeah. And she was like, go do what you think you need to do. And then he goes,
but he sees a picture in her apartment of her and the dog that she lost, and he realizes that's the same dog he had talked to before.
Yes. So he goes back to the thing, and he kind of figures out, oh, you can go under and up. So he kind of does like Pitfall Harry. It reminded me of the Pitfall game. Like under, and it like was drawn like that too. And he comes up out of the manhole. And who, what's standing there? The dog. And, he's, and the dog said something like, "What took you,
what took you so long?
Oh, is this?
This is a fantastic issue.
Oh, it's just so good. And the fact that Lemire's drawing it,
yeah,
I love his quirky drawing.
It was the best issue so far.
Yeah. The last one I'll talk about is regarding the matter of Oswald's body, number one.
I read that.
So there's all kinds of conspiracies about the Kennedy assassination. And this one goes on the premise that Oswald is not really in the grave of Oswald. So they exhume the body and they want to figure out, like, is this
1981.
So, yeah, the 1980s.
Yeah.
So this G-Man is, like, collecting all these oddball people.
That was my only problem with it. The entire issue was just him gathering the team.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
It was, but
a few weeks before the assassination.
Yeah. So he's getting all these like little weird oddballs, and you're like, how's this all going to work together? And it didn't make any real sense until like the last panel.
Right,
like,
when he said, you're going to do this, you're
going to need to find somebody that looks just like this guy who is Oswald, same height, same everything. So it makes you give you the premise that it is Oswald may not be in that grave, so to speak. I thought it was really good. It was cool. And that's from Boom Studios.
It's really weird to have two series where Lee Harvey Oswald is a main.
And it made me think of you, Dave, with the Department of Truth.
The
Truth, and I'm like, oh wow, this is kind of like real conspiracy.
It's He's
like,
running the Department of Truth. That's what's going on.
See, I thought that the books were related.
Mm-mm, different companies.
No. Oh, okay.
But that's all I'll talk about.
Well, I guess I'll talk about the towel pads because it's the only one I got left. Mike.
Jerk.
I could have talked about all of them.
No, that's all right. Telepaths. Can anybody else read that? No? Okay. So, the...
Is this number three or two?
I think it's number three.
Okay.
So, the guys that broke out of prison decide to go back and link up with some gang members who also found that they could control people with their minds. And they're calling them sock puppets. But they're just making random people in the street beat the hell out of each other because they can. But the basically their plan is to get all of these people out of the neighborhood, take them to a non-extradition country because they're like, well, you know, since we got these powers, they're not going to let us just walk around free because someone's going to want to use these powers to make themselves more powerful. So they blocked off this section of Boston basically with hostages and had them, you know, holding like Molotov cocktails, and if anybody came near they'd make them incinerate themselves. But there was a small group of cops that were also telepaths, and I guess telepaths can't control other telepaths. So they're going to send them in to basically try to restore order. But then we find out that some of these guys are not just telepathic. They can also do telekinesis. So like picking up cars and throwing them and things like that. And that's kind of where it ends.
Who's writing this?
I don't remember who's writing this.
And that's Straczynski does the radio.
I think it might be Straczynski, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first one, but that was one of the ones I was going to wait for the trade.
Okay.
That's AWA, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I can't tell if it's... They got like three different potential universes, and you don't know what's actually tying into what. And it's kind of... It's like just kind of... put it all together or don't.
Is it supposed to be five issues?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, the only one that seems to be going more than that is the Marjorie Finnegan. I think that's 12 issues. But that's been really good, too. All right, so I read
My Date with Monsters.
I read that.
Ooh, I did, too.
Mike hated it, so I'm interested to see why he hated it so much. Yeah.
I didn't hate it, you big wiener.
Wow.
I thought it was one of the cleverest books I've read in a while. That's all I'll say.
It was it created a problem for me because it was in previews as Croak, and then they changed the title to My Name Is Monsters, so it means you can't find it in the whatever. But you can't find it in the system because the system it's Croak because that's how it's in Diamond and it's just a little bit of chaos.
If there was something else called Croak,
maybe.
Like a rights
yeah,
issue.
Could have been. Check those things before you get that far.
So, the concept for this book is that this little girl suffered like a psychic trauma of some sort because her parents were working on like some kind of dream.
Weaponizing
dreams. They were trying to weaponize dreams, right. Yeah.
And she witnessed this, and rather than like the monsters from dreams or like nightmares from dreams like going away when people wake up, because she witnessed this, like now the gateway between nightmares and reality is kept open. So everyone needs to take a pill called blankets in order to be able to sleep peacefully without monsters coming through. So you have this world where the little girl is protected by Croak, who is like a monster-eating troll that lives with the family. And
is good, is best friends with the mom.
And is best friends with the mom.
Yeah.
And, but you have all these different monsters coming through dreams. And,
well, the one problem was there's a key point that wasn't explained in the issue that was from the solicit, that the only way to keep the monsters from coming through and to close the gate is for mom's dream to come true, and her dream is, her dream is to find true love. That's why she has to keep dating all these people.
Because there's a whole monologue about, or not a monologue.
That was a weird monologue. Well, no, it was
like, why don't you just fall in love with my, to Croak.
Yeah.
Why don't you just
to
fall
the
in
monster.
Love with,
yeah, that's what the dog
monster.
Says, yeah.
And he's like, well, I'm a monster, and I don't even think I really know what love is.
But the info dump in it was done by the general to the soldiers, which I just found a really...
Yeah.
Weird way to info dump all that stuff. But yeah, I remember that from the solicit, and I just didn't remember it being made clear as that's why she's going on all the dates, all the bad dates.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I really like the part where the kid falls asleep in class.
Yeah, and the monster comes
through. The monster comes and just starts murdering everyone.
Yeah. But this one I like because there was enough there. So many books I read... there isn't quite enough there. Like somebody I was talking to somebody about Human Target, and they were like, there just wasn't enough there. It was okay, but there wasn't enough story. And I, you know, most books seem to be that way now, especially because doing the TV show, I'm refreshed on the solicits for all the books. So when it comes time to actually read it, it's like, I know the book's about this, but that wasn't in the issue.
Yeah, I think this book explained it.
This
well
one
enough.
Did. Yeah, this one had plenty of story.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to pick up the next issue though. It was a good first issue, but I don't think I care. So, then I read Robin and Batman.
Read that?
I did too.
By Jeff Lemire and Dustin Nguyen.
Oh yeah.
So these are the same guys who do Descender and Ascender. So it's in that art style. That really,
I thought his art
the art is
just
awesome,
incredible.
In this, yeah. And it really fits the story, which is sort of I wouldn't call it an origin story for Robin, but it's like a
early days.
It's his side. It's more like Dick Grayson speaking about what it felt like, and did he make the right decision to go with Bruce?
Yeah,
because Bruce is not the most loving, friendly human being, and Dick Grayson wants to tag along and help.
Yeah, I felt like it was a story about like fatherhood.
Yeah,
because you've got Bruce basically fumbling through trying to figure out kind of what Dick needs, and he's kind of being too hard on him, and you know Alfred you know, kind of gives him some advice, and
And Dick wants to tag along, and he has this like little journal that he's doing in his room that's all his, and it's just him telling how he feels, and like he's designing a costume, and he kind of like designs the costume and goes out, and they encounter Killer Croc. Was it in the sewer? I think it was in the sewers.
Well, he follows Batman into the sewer. Yeah.
And Killer Croc's like, "What are you doing here?" And he just like goes at him, and then Batman's like,
"Well, he recognizes his costume."
Yeah.
And that plays into the like the last few pages.
The twist, yeah, which is really cool.
Yeah, where Killer Croc was the.
He was the sideshow.
The sideshow.
Where the Graysons performed.
Yeah.
And then Bruce tried to make things better by making him a Robin suit. Mm-hmm. And then he gets all pissed because Dick realizes he actually went through his journal. Yeah. And was like, and then Bruce is like, "There are no secrets here."
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa. So, did you read this, Dave?
I didn't read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, this is good. I have a feeling this is going to be one of the... it's not Black Label.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
Oh, it feels like Black Label. It feels like Black Label.
But it's not...
Yeah.
Like, it's... I think you'd like it, Dave, because it's very, like... It could fit into any Batman area.
Yeah.
Like, you could totally do an episode of the animated series that was like this. Or, you know... from any era, it's very timeless. Is just
top notch.
Yeah, I like his art.
Yeah, and Lemire just does it again, of course.
But yeah, I think if the next two issues are like this, it's going to make.
And it's really just a 3-issue series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, sometimes that changes.
Yeah.
But no, I think that was probably the best thing I read all week.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Dave, did you read anything?
The Unbelievable Unteens. Ooh.
I did too.
Did you read that? Okay, great.
That was, I didn't realize that was the fourth and final issue.
Yeah, final issue of this.
I was like, what happened?
The Unteens, they were a super group kid teen heroes in the 80s, like cross between the X-Men and Teen Titans, kind of.
Yeah.
And now it's years later, and they forgot who they were, and they're slowly remembering.
And the one girl who's a comic book artist has been writing all these comic book stories.
Yeah.
And she didn't realize she was actually in the Unteens, and she's been telling their story via her comic books.
So the main gist of this issue, they found the guy, kid who was Kid Boom, he's taking care of Snapdragon, who's in a coma.
In a coma in the hospital.
And we get the third issue we get the backstory of how it was told in like 80s comic book pages of what happened to them when they went to hell to meet the White Wraith, and that's what caused, you know, Jack Sabbath to turn into like a ghost.
Yeah.
And when what happened to Snapdragon, and in this issue Jack Sabbath wants to go back to hell to rescue Snapdragon because that's the way to get her out of the coma. And I like we have an appearance by the Horseless Rider. It was cool. He was in the issue of Black Hammer Visions that Scott Snyder did. He's kind of like the Phantom Stranger.
Yeah.
Who tells, you know, Jack, don't go to hell because it's not going to end well.
And they're all like interconnected because they liked each other. They were in love with each other as young people and as older people. The relationships are different.
It was really that was all good.
Yeah.
But you know, it's kind of a melancholy ending. Won't give that away.
Yeah.
But
I liked how it ended, though.
I did too.
I was definitely fine with how it ended.
Oh yeah, it was. It felt real.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully these characters
continue on,
come back somehow.
Yeah.
And I've read The Thing.
Yay!
Number 1.
Because I read it, and then Tim's talking about it. I'm like, I have zero recollection of that book.
It was that good?
It's written by Walter Mosley.
Yeah, it was.
Who's the crime novelist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What starts out with this is it says it takes place years ago. And there's this hooded figure that goes around and it takes the heart of this guy living in Brooklyn. And then we go to the Baxter Building, and Ben went somewhere to catch lobster, and he comes back, and there's nobody there. Reed and Sue are in Moscow. Johnny's in Arizona at a car rally or something. And Alicia is out with a friend at some exhibit. So Ben goes to find Alicia, and the guy sprays him with mace, and Ben throws a car, and he gets arrested into this... He's thrown into this synthetic vibranium cell.
And Hercules is in there, because Hercules had gotten a little drunk and did stuff.
And
bad touch.
Bad touch?
I'm guessing. But then Ben breaks out.
They break out. They figure a way to break out. And then Reed shows up and says he's under a house arrest at the Baxter Building. Then there's this weird part with like this little sprite, from this from this like dating service or something, who wants to find a perfect match for Ben, since Alicia is out of the picture at this point.
Is this early on?
It says it takes place years ago.
Okay.
So. 60s or 70s or 80s. Then he goes then the next day he gets a match, and it's like this clothes designer, and he goes to meet
Bye,
her.
Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim. Tim.
And this like guy like busts through the wall and says, you know, get your hands off her. It was weird. I don't know. It was just okay. Who knows?
Is it a mini or an ongoing?
It's a mini, It's a mini, yeah. I hate to end on that note, but that's all I got.
Okay.
Did you like the thing?
It wasn't memorable. It was honestly, okay, but it was just kind of,
yeah.
Not going to be a definitive thing story type thing. It's just, yeah.
Do you have anything left, Colin?
Oh, me. Sorry. Venom number one.
Another one?
Yeah. Not a great number one, because you really had to know what happened in the last issue to make any sense of it. But his son... You have something to say? His son... Oh, what's his son's name?
Venom Jr.?
No. I apologize. I'm totally forgetting. But people are screaming, because I always do when I'm listening to podcasts and they can't remember something. But he is basically Venom now. He's bonded with the symbiote, and he's down on Earth waiting for his dad to come back, because he's not really old enough to be on his own. And his dad has become the King in Black and is now in outer space patrolling with these other symbiotes. And he can go from one mind to the other and control them all. And they come across the spaceship and had been overtaken by pirates. And they go in, and he's got four symbiotes, and they're John Paul, George, and Ringo. So he can tell them apart. And one has red eyes, and they don't explain that. You don't know why, but one looks different. And they go in, and he tells them all to do different jobs, and he and another guy take out the pirates and tie them all up. And then he goes to rescue the crew, and the one who was Ringo had the red eyes and murdered all of them. And then as Eddie gets in there, he basically shows him the future, and... Or no, he tells him that he's going to be dethroned, and he won't know when, but he'll see it coming, and there's nothing he can do about it. And then he disintegrates. So Eddie's like, "What the heck is going on?" He goes home. He then does some trick that he can now do where he can see the future, and he sees. He tells his son. God, I feel really bad.
Dylan.
Dylan. Thank you. You looked it up. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Dylan, all of a sudden he shows up and he's talking to Dylan saying, pack your bags. We got to go. And then he gets a phone call and it says dad, and he answers the phone and it's his dad, saying, you know, I know you're in there with him. That's not me. Get out, go back to this motel where we had met before, and I'll be there waiting for you. You need to sneak out. Where's the symbiote? I don't know. Well, through the whole thing, you've been seeing this guy wearing a baseball hat, looking up at the apartment. And then, so he gets on the bus and he gets out there and escapes. Before he gets there, Eddie does this little trick where he can see the future, and he sees a helicopter coming and attacking, and all sorts of bad things happening. So, as soon as Dylan gets there, of course... Oh, and he also tells him not to bond with the symbiote, because bad things could happen. As soon as he gets there, the government attacks, and all of a sudden it turns out the guy with the baseball hat was the symbiote, and he bonds with Dylan, and Dylan fights the military. But it was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm very confused. So not a great number one in that instance. It really should have just been the next issue with a new creative team, but they didn't do it that way. Spider-Man 78. This is continuing on the story where Ben had been bitten by Morbius. It kind of messed up the suit and it was shorting out a little bit, but it healed itself. He gets out, or he realizes that Morbius needs, because Morbius, after he bites him, says not enough, meaning he didn't get enough of the blood, and maybe Morbius has a problem and he needs Peter's blood to cure him, and that's what he's trying to get. So he kind of leads him back to Beyond and thinking that maybe they can help him. And he's like, wait outside, and there's like an energy wall that Ben can walk through, but when Morbius tries to, it cuts off his arm. So then he starts running, and runs into the Daughters of the Dragon, who eventually capture him. But the scientists are all excited to have the arm of Morbius, and they're going to test it. And then, as they have Ben, and they're going to give him the serum, you know, something to, so he doesn't turn into a vampire, they're like, well, what would happen if we just waited and didn't give it to him? Let's see what happens if he became a spider vampire. And then somebody's like, no, heal him. Definitely showing that that these people are, you know, not good guys. Peter is still, he's in a coma, and Felicia Hardy, the black cat, comes to pay him a visit. And when she's there, his eyes open real quick and close, and Mary Jane sees that, and she's like, great, no, you need to stay, because, you know, I guess we're going to gather up all of his former lovers. But that was the first reaction he's had. So, but let's get you changed because you're in your black cat costume and we can't let the nurse see you. So that was Spider-Man. And then today is Spider-Man.Bay. So it's going to be all of his lovers showing up, all his bays. Righteous Thirst for Vengeance, number 2.
Oh, I read that.
I didn't know what was going on in the first one, and I'm even a little more confused now. So the guy walks in at the end of the last one. He walks in on the murder scene where these guys have been murdered. And
he leaves a footprint.
He leaves a bloody footprint because he had stepped in the blood and then stepped outside. So this has him then going home and like logging into a computer. And it's like he's a hitman and he's checking the list of who the hits were and finds this hit on this guy. And it's by some guy. Right. And then he agrees to do the next hit. Because I don't know if he's invested. Because there's really no words in this entire book.
So, I took something different from it.
Okay.
I took that he was meant to do
that hit. Okay. And somebody
got there before him.
Gotcha.
And now he knows who that guy is because he bumped into him, and then he saw that stuff.
Okay.
At the murder scene. But so the feeling that I get is that he is actually going to murder that dude for murdering them, and he was,
because then he paid money because his mom's in a nursing home and he gave them lots of money to take care of her.
He's planning on dying.
Okay,
so it's either that, or the other thought I had was maybe some, like, because he's ready to die, that's why he hands over all the money. So, and given the name, or I just for thirst for
Vengeance,
I'm assuming that there is someone, either that guy or whoever that he needs revenge against. And he, so he's, just he's doing detective
righteous
work.
Thirst for vengeance because somebody did a hit before that you were supposed to. That doesn't seem like enough to make you a righteous thirst for vengeance, right?
But, and I think I think hopefully we'll learn about this. But like he doesn't seem like a hitman.
No, he doesn't. So yeah,
it almost makes me wonder, like, is he penetrating this hitman circle?
Yeah,
or something.
That's why I said I'm more confused now than I was.
The other thing is, this issue had almost as few words as the last one, and the last one was basically
well, this one had a little more because like the police showed up and they found the footprint and stuff, so that's going to lead to that. Yeah. So, but yeah, there was a little more words that way, but not with him. He's very quiet. I read a not good book called Phenom X. That's by John Leguizamo wrote it, and it pretty much reads like a teenager that wanted to write their first comic about a superhero they made up would write a superhero comic. And it just...
When you said that, like, the week before...
Well, because I'm like, you know, maybe they're getting into it because, like, the one that Amelia Clark did, that Mom,
mm-hmm.
is selling well. Berserker's selling well. So I'm like, maybe there's to this. And...
Right, but this would have had to been produced... significantly, like, he couldn't have gone, oh, Mom did well, Berserker did well.
No, but I was thinking just because it's an actor doing it, it might not be that bad. And he was on Colbert plugging it, and yeah, it wasn't good. It's about a secret government doing tests on people of color. And they give him a pill, and if there's radiation from this certain neighborhood, they get powers. And the main character's in jail, falsely accused of robbing something. In order to get out, he has to join this group and take the pill. And it just, and there was just like every trope through the entire book. It was just, it was painful.
Not reading issue two?
No.
Was it worse than the Super Mario Brothers movie?
I've never seen that. I've never seen it. So I can't vouch for that. Batman the Imposter number 2. That was really good. That was the only reason Robin and Batman wasn't my favorite. This was really good with one little spot that storytelling was poor. Jock's writing, or no, it's Andrea Sorrentino. Mm-hmm. Yeah, drawing it. Never mind, I thought it was the Jock one, but it's not. But art really good. It's basically showing, it's flashing back a little bit to him first meeting Leslie Tompkins as a kid. In dealing with his anger issues, and you know, she's like, she's worried about him, and Alfred doesn't know what to do with him and stuff. And then now, as an adult, and you know, like he shows up, and she stitches him up and stuff. That was really good. And then he meets a police officer whose parents were also murdered in front of her, and he's like, maybe this can be my way to get it, the file, because he needs the files because he's trying to stop this imposter who's killing people.
Is he still killing people though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And like he tapped into he figured out where it was and that this one company that does security has cameras that he might be able to, so he tried to tap into their system and just was a step slow and almost got caught, and then runs into the owner, the kid of the owner of the company who asked him to murder his dad. So not quite sure. And it almost like he's turning into the ventriloquist. It was a real weird transition and you couldn't quite figure out what was going on there. But then later the head of the security thing is there and he's got like a bandage on his hand. He's like, you know, what happened there? Oh, it was something with his son. But I don't want to say seduces, but he seduces the police officer and they sleep together. And she's like looking at him going over his stitches and what was this? And he's, you know, oh, this was the, you know, making up excuses for all of his scars and stuff.
Does the artwork remind you of anybody?
Like who?
Like early, like Frank Miller?
Oh, well, it's very Sorrentino. But I really enjoyed that. And then the last one I read was one of Tim's favorites, Pennyworth. Just a silly book.
It's about Alfred?
It's Alfred. And it's two stories. One is an adult and one is a young adult, where he'd gone on this mission to like the Antarctic for the Russians were doing some testing, and he went with his best friend, who was also an agent, and it turns out at the end she turned on him, and she'd gone, she became a double agent for the Russians, left him to die. And then in the present, it's Alfred being attacked by somebody. But it's silly fun. The art's kind of cartoony. Not cartoony, but not, you know, super detailed and stuff. But it's been enjoyable. I'm surprised. I thought it was going to just be really dumb. but it's been fun. It's been a fun story. So.
Well, Colin, in theory...
Anything we didn't talk about that you read of your 52 books?
No. You did a good job.
Okay. Thank you.
So theoretically, what books are coming out this week?
Okay, so we what have if? From
in a perfect world. Yeah,
what if
from Marvel we have Spider-Man, sure. 79, Black Panther may or may not be coming. Apparently, I forgot to order it because it really weird. We first ordered it from Diamond, and then it switched over
to Penguin.
So and it got delayed for 6 months or whatever, and then to Penguin, and somehow I missed ordering it. But it's funny because I have one variant cover coming next week from Diamond, and then I have one variant cover coming from Penguin next week, and then that made me realize I did not order any. So I went in and ordered some. So they might not be here next week. Yeah, number one, the new
ongoing?
Yeah.
Who's writing it?
John Ridgely, I think. The guy who did the other side of DC or whatever.
Is that John Ridley?
Ridley, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think. But so I have. Hopefully, we'll have some coming at some point. Death of Doctor Strange number 3, Hulk number 1. Woo, the new one by Donny Cates.
Ryan Ottley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Donny Cates and Ryan Ottley.
How many covers?
I'm only getting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Out of 41.
What?
Out of 41.
That could be.
You're slacking. Huh?
Well, some of those are going to be store exclusives. It wasn't 41 open order covers. Star Wars Life Day, just in time for Life Day. Thor and Wolverine, bunch of books missing from next week.
Does that mean next week we got to spend the first 10 minutes of the podcast talking like Wookiees?
You go, Pat. So this is fun. Look at this. Nothing highlighted from Diamond. Nothing highlighted on the first page.
Well, to be fair, you don't know if it's coming.
True. We have Fathom the Core, their new Fathom series. Good Boy number 1. Now, I do want to hype this one. This is basically it's basically John Wick, but if John Wick died and the dog survived. But the dogs also can talk and do things like that. This is written by a friend of mine, Christy Blanche, who's also a big Columbo fan, but she has a store out in Indiana. And he's a huge John Wick fan, so I was not real surprised reading this. But it was good. I read the PDF of it. It was enjoyable. And it has a great Franco Villa cover. Girl Scouts, Stone Ghost. This is a new mini from... Jim Mahfood. So he had done a Girl Scouts series earlier. What's up, Mark? What? You ready to go? Are you coming over the table? Don't make me flip the table. We're almost done, sweetie.
You said something that just offended her.
Well, I said good boy. Gunslinger Spawn number 2. House of Slaughter number 2. Joy Operations. This is the first book from Bendis at Dark Horse. We have a whole bunch of local comic shop day books coming. And a bunch coming after, too. But we have Miskatonic Even Death May Die. A one-shot sequel to the Miskatonic series from Aftershock. New previews is next week. So, previews is due next week. It is technically due on Thanksgiving. So, please get your orders in because I will not be spending Thanksgiving doing the previews order. I'm going to try to get it done early. We're going soon. We're going soon, okay? Okay? Or do you have something to say?
That's the podcast.
Nope, not yet. We got to go. DC giving us... We have Aquaman Green Arrow Deep Target number 2 that you guys are shaming me into reading. Even Tim, who likes everything, said it was an awful book.
You must read 2, though. You have to continue.
We have Catwoman 37 is a Fear State tie-in. DC versus Vampires 2 next week. That was really good. Detective Comics 1045 is a Fear State tie-in. Harley Quinn 8 is a Fear State tie-in. Superman 78 number 4 next week. Sorry, I have 2, 3, and 4 coming next week. And Task Force Z number 2. So lots of stuff coming. Lots of stuff coming tomorrow. Woo! I sure hope so, because we had like a half a normal Wednesday, which is not good at this time of year. So as always, website's Pittsburgh Comics, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Send us home, Marley. Okay, Mike. Continue.
And that's
Mike.
The podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.